We read the Word of God tonight from Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, which is part of the sermon we know as the Sermon on the Mount. We'll read beginning at verse 13 to the end of the chapter. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. May God add his blessing to our reading of his word. We consider tonight verses 13 and 14 as the text. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have an obvious question to ask at the beginning tonight of you and of the three who made confession of faith. It's a question to which the answer is obvious. Do you want one day to be in heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ, in the passage of Scripture that we read tonight, indicates that it's not only believers, who belong to the kingdom of heaven, but that there are also many unbelievers who will say to that question, yes, yes, I want to be in heaven one day. Now, the way that they answer that question is to put the emphasis on, I want to be in the kingdom of heaven in the future. I want to be in the kingdom of heaven after the Lord Jesus Christ comes, after that great day of the resurrection of the bodies, after that great day of judgment, after the great work of God of perfecting the kingdom of heaven, recreating the heavens and the earth, then I want to be in the kingdom of heaven. But you ask them, what about now? What about in this life? Do you, as you live here in this world, want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven? And their answer is no. And they give evidence of that answer, even if they don't verbalize it. That's the answer they give in the fact that they refuse to have anything to do with the straight gate and the narrow way. They love the broad way and the wide gate. They want nothing to do with the hardships, the self-sacrificing and the self. They want leisure. They want pleasure in this world. So this is what they want. They want the kingdom of heaven, all right, in the future, but they want the way to that kingdom to be the way of the broad way, and the entrance to be the way of the wide gate. Let us live in sin and in the pleasures of sin, and then enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ dashes the hopes and the desires of anyone who may desire to be in heaven and to attain unto heaven through the broad gate and the broad way. No, Jesus says, though they plead with me in that day, no salvation for them, no heaven for them, no glory for them. They who enter into the broad or the wide gate and walk upon the broad way will go into destruction. Jesus teaches very clearly that those who will live outside of His kingdom in this life will be outside of the kingdom also after the judgment day. So the question for you young people tonight, and for you congregation tonight, is not, do you want to go to heaven? That doesn't really distinguish you from the people who are not part of the kingdom of heaven, the unbelievers in the world. The question is this: are you part of the kingdom of heaven now? And the test is this: have you entered in at the straight gate? And are you walking upon the narrow way? That's the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in giving that command, identifies those who are His. This is how you know someone belongs to His kingdom now, and how you know that that man or that woman in that day of the perfection of the kingdom will be in the kingdom then too. They are those who hear the command and by God's grace obey the command to enter in the straight gate and walk upon the narrow way. So let's consider this text under that theme tonight, entering the straight gate. Understanding, it's really only part of the theme. The full theme is entering in at the straight gate and walking upon the narrow way. Those two things go together. We're going to consider in the first place the calling, the command of Jesus here in the text, and then secondly, the motivation for doing this. We have here in the text a very beautiful and a very simple metaphor that even the children can understand. Jesus Christ in this sermon, and in all of His sermons, declares that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the subject of Jesus' sermon in the Sermon on the Mount. God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven here to a castle. This castle has two doors. Door number one is the straight gate or the straight door. Door number two is the wide gate or the wide door. And we can see then that Jesus Christ is comparing a narrow door to a wide door. We can see that in the text. Jesus is not referring to a straight gate as opposed to a crooked gate, because the word is not spelled that way, S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, but S-T-R-I-T. Jesus is speaking about a narrow entryway into the kingdom of heaven. Picture a castle, maybe two castles. The doorway to one is only about 3 bars wide. Many don't see that doorway. The doorway to the other is a double doorway. It's wide. Many find that doorway. The doorway that is narrow leads to life, to salvation in the kingdom. The doorway that is wide leads to destruction. So the question we need to answer tonight is, what does Jesus teach us when He says that the entryway to the kingdom of heaven is narrow? And we can answer that when we compare this passage to a couple of passages in John, where again Jesus Christ teaches about the kingdom of heaven and the entryway to the kingdom of heaven. And He says that the reality is that He is the entryway to the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 10, verse 7, where Jesus compares the kingdom to a sheepfold. And He says the sheepfold has pens, it has walls. And there's no way to enter that sheepfold but by the door. And He says, I am the door. The gate into the sheepfold or the castle or the kingdom. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, a little different wording, not I am the door, not I am the gate, but I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then He adds, and this is important, no man cometh unto me but by the Father. So that Jesus teaches us, this is what it means that the entryway into the kingdom of heaven is narrow. It means that there are not many ways into the kingdom of heaven, but there's only one way. That is the way of faith in Jesus Christ. There are many today who want to make the way to heaven broad. Many even in the church who want to say there are many ways, many faiths that one can follow into the kingdom of heaven. You may be a Christian, or you may be a Muslim, or you may be a Buddhist, or you may be a Mormon. The Lord Jesus Christ refutes that here. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, there's no room for any other saviors. You must confess faith in one Savior only, the Lord Jesus Christ. That entryway is narrow. You can't enter into the kingdom of heaven if you put faith in any Savior besides Jesus Christ. There's no room for any other Savior. You can't enter into the kingdom of heaven And you don't enter into the kingdom of heaven if you're looking to anything else besides Jesus Christ for salvation. This is part of the narrowness, part of the pain and the suffering of entering into the kingdom through that one way of salvation. It's the way of self-repudiation, self-loathing, the way of humility, the way of saying, I can't save myself. I can't contribute to my salvation. I'm a sinner. And the one way that I am saved is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The gate is narrow. The only way into the kingdom of heaven through Jesus Christ is to give up all, to confess sin, and to look to Him alone as the Savior. But the way too, Jesus says, is narrow. Jesus connects a narrow gate with a narrow pathway. You enter into this doorway that leads into the kingdom of heaven, you find yourself then on a roadway that is narrow. Jesus contrasts that with the wide gate, that if you walk through that wide gate, you find yourself upon a wide, broad highway. And what Jesus is teaching us here is that there's an inseparable connection between the gate and the road that follows that gate. And what he is teaching is that the broad gate, which is the way of looking for salvation in anything other than Jesus, is going to lead to the broad way, a way of life that is consistent with that. On the other hand, the narrow gate is going to lead to a way that is consistent with confessing faith in Jesus Christ, a life that is devoted to Jesus Christ. Jesus does not teach here. It's very plain that it's possible to enter into the kingdom of heaven, confessing faith in Him as the Savior, and then walk on the broad way. There are many who want that. Many who want license from the Lord Jesus Christ, having salvation in Him, to go on living in sin. Jesus never teaches that. He doesn't teach that here in the text or in the context. He makes very plain that in the day of judgment, those who confess Him, who say they believe in Him, but who did not bear any fruit, who worked evil instead of good, who did not follow and do the works of His Father, they will be shut out of the kingdom. No, those who confess faith in Jesus Christ and who live for Him, Jesus says, they are on the way to the kingdom of heaven. So the narrow gate is a symbol of an entryway into a pathway that requires of one who confesses faith in Jesus Christ that he and she forsakes the way of sin and the way of this world and lives in the way of righteousness. In Luke 13, verse 25, the Lord Jesus Christ indicates in a parallel passage that this is a way of constant struggle and hardship. He says, not only enter into the narrow gate, but he says, strive to enter. Indicating that this is going to require literally agony in hard work, constant hard work. Confessing faith in Jesus Christ means that you must do the hard work of fighting against sin and the hard work of applying God's Word to your life. It's necessary for Jesus as the King of the kingdom to command us to strive to enter the kingdom and to strive to walk on the narrow way. Our tendency is to take it easy. Our tendency is to be lazy. Maybe when it comes to fighting against sin. Or maybe when it comes to really applying the Word of God to our lives. Jesus says, the narrow way for the Christian man is to strive to fight against sin. To strive to live according to the Word of God. The narrow way for a husband who is a citizen of the kingdom of heaven is to strive to fight against sin in his marriage. Fight against bitterness and anger against his wife, and to strive to love his wife so that their marriage will be a picture of Christ's relationship with his church. The narrow way for Christian parents is not to be lazy and lackadaisical when it comes to the rearing of their children, but to strive to fight against sin and laziness and to be faithful to their calling to bring their children up in the way of the Lord. The narrow way for Christian young people. Jesus Christ calls them to enter the straight gate and walk on the narrow way too. The narrow way means that Christian young people may not make excuse for their sin. May not make excuse that when they are younger they walk in sin. Jesus Christ says, no, you young people too, strive to fight against sin. To reject that broad way. The way of the world and of evil. And you must move along Jesus Christ. Not only because it requires of you to put off sin. Now think of the picture. There's no room for sin on this way. There's room only for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's also no room on this way, perhaps, for many other things in our lives that might seem legitimate and in themselves are legitimate. The way is narrow. The way requires devotion to Jesus Christ in the way of a willingness to give up anything that might hinder us, anything that might lead us away from that narrow way into the broad way. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you may not have money. But it does mean, that you love Jesus Christ more than money. And loving Jesus Christ may mean that you give up money for His sake. That you give up a job, or you don't take a job for the sake of your devotion to Jesus Christ. Or that the money that you wanted to use for something else, you recognize you need to use for the kingdom of heaven. You've learned this from your parents. You've learned from your parents, from your fathers and your mothers, that there are things that they would like to have that they have given up for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, and things that they would like to do, perhaps hobbies that your father would like to pursue or your mother. But they have said, for the sake of my calling as a husband or a wife, for the sake of my calling as a parent, Christ has made it clear there's no room in my way for these things. You, as young people, need to understand that's what Jesus Christ is calling you to. He's commanding you to put your faith in Him alone, and then to dedicate your life to Him so that you're willing to sacrifice, so that you're willing to deny yourself, so that you're willing not only to reject the broad way of sin and evil, but also that broad way of worldly mindedness and a desire for worldly things more than the things of the kingdom of heaven. And to indicate just how narrow that way can be, all we have to do is remember what Jesus Christ taught His disciples. They knew they knew the way was narrow. They experienced that when Jesus said to them, "Your love for me must be more than your love for your father or your mother or your brother or your sister." Your father or your mother or your brother or your sister, boyfriend or girlfriend, or other friends don't help you walk along the narrow way, but are tugging you, pulling you in the direction of the broad way, the Lord Jesus Christ said, there isn't room for them in your life of devotion to me. And that means that we need to examine ourselves tonight. And the question is not this: do you want to go to heaven? Of course we do. But do you believe in Jesus Christ alone for salvation? Do you love Him as your Savior so much that you're not only willing to forsake sin for His sake, but to give up anything He might make plain to you, you must give up for His sake? You willing to give up the world and its things and its entertainment? Are you willing to say, if there isn't any profit in the television or in the internet or in any of these electronic devices that we have, if these things distract me, the things that I do to entertain myself, are you willing to give those things up? Deny yourself for the sake of your devotion to Jesus Christ. You must be ready, as many of the members of the congregation are now, to deny themselves certain things: homes, cars, vacations, hobbies and activities and possessions for the sake of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Through the straight gate, there is room only for trusting in Jesus Christ. And on the narrow way, there's only room for devotion to Jesus Christ. Now, what's the motivation for entering the straight gate and for walking upon the narrow way? It might seem that Jesus Christ really doesn't give us much motivation here in the text. In fact, Jesus, as He describes the narrow way as narrow, and that narrow gate is narrow, and the broad gate, the wide gate is wide, and the wide way as broad, He's indicating that from an outward point of view, that narrow gate and that narrow way appears bad. And the wide gate and the wide way appears good. We can see that in the picture, can't we? Put yourself in that place where you stand before a narrow door. To enter through that door is going to require that you squeeze through that door. And then when you pass through that door, the way is very narrow. And what you have to picture here is not a narrow pathway that you walk upon only, but a narrow way with narrow walls and perhaps pieces of rock sticking out, squeezing you and scraping you as you walk upon that way. And then the other door that you stand before is that double door with a broad and wide highway. Of course you're going to choose naturally to walk upon the wide way and enter through the wide door. Jesus is realistic. He understands. In the way that He describes the kingdom of heaven here in this text, that the way of sin always, from a natural point of view, appears to be good because it is easy. If you walk in sin, you never have to humble yourself. If you walk in sin, you never have to say that you're wrong or that you're sorry. If you walk in sin, you may walk in pride. You may boast of yourself. And if you walk in sin, you don't have to think about others. You don't have to, as a Christian man, love your wife, or as a Christian woman, love your husband. You don't have to love your neighbor. You may live for yourself. on the broad way, you don't have to keep any of the commandments of God, including the fourth commandment. You don't have to come to church on the Sabbath day to come under the preaching of the gospel. On the broad way, you may put yourself, your pleasure, your leisure above anything else. You don't want to have children for the sake of the kingdom of heaven because you have no interest in the kingdom of heaven. You don't have to have children. You don't want to marry a believer in order to have a marriage that is based upon God's word, and a marriage that is united in faith. You don't have to marry a believer. In fact, on the broad way, people say you don't have to marry at all. You can live with each other outside of marriage in fornication. You may do whatever you want. The narrow way, Jesus indicates, is just the opposite of that. It's hard. On this way, you have to humble yourself. You have to loathe yourself and your sins and confess. It's Jesus alone who is my Savior. And on the narrow way, you must love your neighbor. You must think of others. Put them above yourself. Deny yourself as a husband for the sake of your wife, as a parent for the sake of your children, as a member of the church for the sake of other members of the church. And you do have to hear the law of God saying no to many things in the world. Saying you may do those things, the way for you is narrower. You have to walk according to these commandments. And on this way, Jesus indicates part of the narrowness and the hardship will be persecution and the hatred of the world. In verse 13, Jesus speaks of the straight gate. He speaks of a narrow gate. But then in verse 14, when he says, narrow is the way, he's using a different word. He's using a word that says that way is going to be compressed. That way is a way in which you're going to feel a great deal of pressure. And what Jesus indicates is that even though the people on the broad way cannot see the straight gate, and they cannot therefore enter on the narrow way, they're going to see you as you walk upon the narrow way. And they're going to hate you for your life, in which you have repudiated the broad way, in which you have refused to join them in walking on the broad way. You're going to be ridiculed by them. And they're going to mean it as an insult. And they will tell you, you're narrow-minded. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us tonight to see that's not an insult. That's a commendation. Narrow is the way for the people of God in this life. Nevertheless, Jesus does not paint an idealistic picture of the Christian life. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ does not promise to the citizens of His kingdom health and wealth here in this life. Jesus does not say that if you are in My kingdom here on this earth, you are going to prosper. You are going to always be on the mountaintops of joy. No. The narrow way of the Christian in the world appears to be bad. And Jesus recognizes that outwardly compared to the broad way. But Jesus, here in this sermon and in many places, reveals something that we can't see outwardly, that we can only see by faith in order to show us that narrow way may appear to be bad, but is actually good. And that broad way may appear to be good, but it's actually bad. And Jesus teaches us something we can't see, but He teaches us as the King of this kingdom, who establishes this kingdom in His blood, who came to reveal this kingdom in His preaching. Jesus comes and He says, here's a perspective you need to see. Go to the end of each of these ways and consider now the destination. What is the destination? Of those who enter the wide gate and walk upon the broad way, Jesus says, that's the one that leadeth to destruction. And many people today who want to say Jesus is a loving Savior, that He loves all men, that means, and who deny that there is a hell. That goes against Jesus' clear teaching here in the text where Jesus Christ speaks of destruction and He is speaking of eternal hell. And He is speaking of something awful. We can get a sense of how awful this is when Jesus later in the passage says that when these people come to Him in that day of days and say to Him that they want to come into the kingdom, and Jesus' response is this, I never knew you. Depart from me. Can you imagine any more terrifying words? Apart from me. There is nothing in this world that can describe the reality of the destruction that Jesus speaks of here in the text. There may be people who say that their lives are a living hell, but they have no idea what this is going to be like, this destruction in that day. The end of the broad way that appears to be so good and pleasurable is this utter desolation. But consider the end of the narrow way. The straight is the gate, verse 14, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Jesus Christ is clearly speaking of the life, the perfect life of His kingdom in heaven after the judgment day. And again, we don't really know. We can hardly imagine how beautiful this is, what Jesus speaks of here in the text. But again, we can get a taste of it if we think of the context. Think of how wonderful it will be not only to be in heaven and to be without sin, to be in heaven in that new heaven and the new earth that will be glorious and honorable. But think of how wonderful it will be to have the Lord Jesus Christ say, I know you. I know you. You, come with me. I will sit down with you forever. That's the end of the narrow way. Which one, from that point of view, do you want to walk upon? Yes, the door is narrow. The pathway is narrow. But it ends in a mansion, in a house with many mansions. The other one has a wide door, a wide highway. And it's popular. There are many people who are walking on it. But it ends in a lake of fire. Doesn't that motivate us? Doesn't that make us say that we want to enter the straight gate and walk upon the narrow way? That we're ready for all the hardship, for all the self-sacrifice, for all the self-denial that this way requires. Because the King of the kingdom has shown us the end. But we must say more than that. When Jesus Christ here in the text speaks of the difference between the narrow way and the broad way, He's not only showing us the difference between the ends, but He is showing us the difference between the life, the journey that leads to the end. And Jesus Christ, knowing that the narrow way is a hard way, it is a difficult way, gives encouragement. He does. He says to His people, "You may know that you are mine, and that you belong to my kingdom, and that God is your Father. And you may know that you already have all of the riches of the kingdom of heaven, that all your sins are forgiven. You may know that you already have the love of the Father. You may know and experience the love of God in your hearts." Here's how. Jesus says, "I'll identify you. As you walk upon the narrow way, rejecting sin, denying yourself, giving up things for my sake, you may hear me speak to you by my word, saying to you, you're mine. You belong to my kingdom." What a blessing it is when we in this life may walk with the knowledge of the love of our Savior Jesus Christ. Can't have that on the broad way. There is no knowledge of Jesus Christ or the love of God on the broad way. There is therefore no comfort in the midst of the trials and the difficulties of this life. What a comfort it is for us when we walk on the narrow way and experience difficulties to know that the Lord Jesus Christ says, "This is the God-ordained way for you. The way that God has planned for you to lead to life in the future." And what a comfort it is too, and a blessing it is to walk upon that way with the people of God. It is true. Jesus says, on this way, you're not going to be able to take sin with you. Your besetting sins, the sins that you by nature desire to commit, you have to get rid of them. There's no room for them on that way. And it's true that on this way, Jesus might say to you, there are many other things that you have no room for in your life. Many of life's pleasures, many of life's luxuries that you can't take with you on the way. But Jesus says, you won't be alone on the way. I'll be with you. So will my people. There are other people. Oh, it's true that on the broad way there are more people. But on the narrow people there are God's people. And what a blessing that is to know fellow citizens of the kingdom of God, to walk in faith together, to encourage each other, to uphold each other on the narrow way. What a blessing it is to experience God's establishment of fellowship and communion in our homes too, along that narrow way. It is true that on that narrow way we may have to forsake father or mother or brother for the sake of Jesus Christ. But God also has promised that He's going to work this way, that in the way of walking in the narrow way, and instructing our children and young people to walk in that narrow way, to confess their faith in Jesus and to serve Him, God promises to save them so that we can experience this. We, with our children, walking in the ways of God. That's a blessing, isn't it? That's something we would miss if we walked in the broad way. If we walked in the broad way and led our children in the broad way, we would see our children grow up faithless and unbelieving. We would see our children walking in sin and growing in immorality. The Lord Jesus Christ commands us, you enter in through the straight gate. You walk on the narrow way. This is the joy that you'll experience. Walking with others in the church and in your family in the way of God. Let us hear the warning of Jesus Christ. Take it as motivation to put our faith in Jesus Christ. And let us hear the promise of life everlasting, the promise of the blessing, so that we will say no to the broad way of sin and worldly pleasure, and so that we will strive to enter in and stay on the narrow way that leads to life. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, grant unto us faith tonight, so that we may be able to see from the perspective of Thy Word and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the reality of the kingdom of heaven. And may be able to see through all of the lies of the devil and the people of this world who attempt to lure us into thinking that this world is good and that the way of this world is good. May we see that that's a way of emptiness and a way that leads to destruction. Give us faith to see the treasures of the kingdom of heaven that are ours, so that we may pass those treasures down to our children and young people, and so that we may all the way along the way that Thou dost lead us enjoy Thy salvation and continue to be built up in the hope that one day, yes, we will be with Thee in heaven. Here is for Jesus' sake. Amen.